On the build-up to Wimbledon, Australians pin their hopes to someone or something to hopefully get us through the next couple of weeks. A, the sleep patterns, and B, watch one of our favourite stars go as deep as possible into the All England Championships. And one of those just might be this year, Ashley Barty, who's in career-best form, and she joins us on The Breakfast Club on RSN 927. Good morning, Ash.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Great to have you on any time of the year, but you are in some pretty good form in singles and doubles at the moment. You must be as confident as you've ever been, am I right?
Yeah, it's been nice to be able to play well, especially on the grass, and leading up to Wimbledon. But it's just been nice to win a few matches for sure.
Well, you had a great week at Birmingham last week, only a couple of days ago, in both the singles and the doubles. I'll talk more about the doubles shortly. But you took on Petra Kvitova in the final and took out the first set. What were you thinking after you got the first set?
Oh, I think I was still pretty clear and knew what I had to do. But Petra came out firing at the start of the second and really put me under the pump and should have. And sort of showed that the true champion that she is.
I've been grumpy the last couple of days, Ash, because I've had no sleep thanks to you watching you play all your matches. What was it like? I couldn't believe that first set, the composure that you showed. How nervous were you taking on a two-time Wimbledon champion in a final?
Oh, I don't think nerves. It was just exciting to be able to get the chance to play against Petra again. She's obviously been through a bit of a tough trot and it was just nice to see her back out on court. And I was just really excited. I'd had a great week. And for me, it was sort of a win-win. I can go out there and just play with freedom and try and play well.
What I want to know is how intimidating is it playing someone that hits the ball as hard as she does? Because you could just sort of see the match starting to turn and you found it maybe a little bit difficult to dictate as well as you did in the first set as she started to find her rhythm. Is it an intimidating process?
Not really intimidating, but she certainly does hit a very big ball, and she can put you on the back foot very early in rallies, and I think that's what she was able to do really well in the second and third set. And when she finds her range, she's pretty hard to push off the baseline. And yeah, I wasn't really in control for much of that, much of the back end of the match, really.
How do you plan for that, Ash? Do you find you have to find a warm up partner who smashes the ball, try and replicate what's going on?
No, I just try and keep my processes as normal as possible, but you just sort of, I mean, you have the 5 minutes in the warm-up before the match to get used to it, but you just got to, I don't know, just get ready and try and prepare as best you can.
So it didn't go your way in that final against Kvitova, 4-6, 6-3, 6-2 for Kvitova. So what do you learn? Upon reflection, do you analyse the match at the end of it and go through some learnings with your coaching? What happens from there?
Yeah, we have a quick chat about it and sort of look at the things that we could have done better. But, you know, I had a chat with my coach and we both thought we played a really good match. We had a reasonably clean stat sheet and I sort of did what I could. But at the end of the day, Petra was just too good. And sometimes you just got to tip your hat to your opponent.
Well, what you did do, you must be very pleased because you made her play her guts out. She's pulled out of Eastbourne with an abdominal strain. So literally you made her play her guts out to beat you.
Well, it's always nice to push someone, but you never want to see him pull out of a tournament. But hopefully for her, it's just precaution before Wimbledon.
So you're now up to 54 in the world, Ash. That's getting to some pretty serious numbers now. How proud are you of how you've come back into the sport and the success you've had to this point?
It's just been really nice to be able to play consistent tennis throughout the year. And I think it's it's amazing to think that 12 months ago, we'd only just started playing singles again. So it's, you know, a big thank you, I suppose, to my coach and my team for helping me set the foundation. And now we've just been able to go out there, relax, play with freedom and play some good tennis.
Apart from being a little bit older, what's the difference second time around to the approach you've got on the game and perhaps yourself?
I think I obviously learnt a lot from my first time playing and touring, and I was still quite young. And now I'm able to, I suppose, learn from those experiences and try and deal with the pressures better. But I'm just really enjoying my tennis and I'm playing well. We're able to just go out there and relax and play. And I think, you know, obviously the good results help as well. But we've just been able to enjoy our time while we're travelling and just, yeah, really go out there and have some fun.
There's plenty of expectation out there for you, Ash. Do you try to ignore that outside noise?
I think it's always about the process. And, you know, a goal that we had for this year was to break into the top 100, and we were able to have some amazing results in March, and which allowed us to do that. And then it was about consolidation getting closer to the top 50, and now we've been able to do that as well. So I think for us now, it's obviously trying to get inside the top 50, but also just continuing to consolidate and sort of, there's still 6 months to go in the season, so we need to make sure that we knuckle down and still focus on these next 6 months.
In the build-up to Wimbledon, world number 54, Ashleigh Barty joins us on The Breakfast Club on RSN 927. How important has the relationship you form with Casey Dellacqua been to your second coming, if you like, Ash?
Yeah, Casey has always been a massive influence on my tennis. She's my best mate, and you know, I'm very lucky that I'm able to travel the world and play the sport that we both love with her week in and week out. And obviously, she's a bloody good player as well, so I'm glad she's on my side of the net.
Well, it's working, that side of the net. That little tandem duo you got going at the moment is working, because not only did you play Kvitova in the singles final there at Birmingham, you took out the doubles final with Case 10-8 in the third. You're having to work for it a bit, though.
Yeah, we did. It was a cracking match. You know, we lost momentum a little bit in the second, but we were able to sneak through, and we've obviously played a lot of tennis together in the last month, and I think that certainly helped us get over the line in the third there.
The playing the doubles with Case and using the singles and the doubles when you get to each tournament, does it help you become a better singles player playing the doubles, just because you had that little hiatus and more balls on the rackets is better regardless of which format of the game you're playing?
Yeah, I've always enjoyed playing doubles just as much as singles, if not more. And I think it just adds new, different skills and a few shots that you don't usually play in singles. So sometimes when you have to adjust or come up with something else, that you've had that exposure a little bit. But no, I love playing doubles, and it's always enjoyable getting out there with Case. And we have a laugh and we have some fun, and you know, that's the most important thing for us.
Heading into Wimbledon, you come into the event having got to the final of the French doubles with Casey. What makes you such a good combination?
I think from day one, we've always gelled really well on the court. From the very first match that we played together, we were comfortable on the court together. We sort of, we get along off the court really well as well. So we're able to just have normal open discussions on the court and joke around when we need to and focus when we need to. So we've just got a really good balance, I think.
You walk through the gates at Wimbledon at some point this week. You're the former junior Wimbledon singles champion. Does it feel that long ago that you did that?
It feels like a lifetime ago. it was a few years ago now, but I mean, walking into the All England Club, it's always amazing. It's a phenomenal venue, and I don't know if you'd find any tennis player that doesn't get a few tingles walking in there. It's a really cool place and certainly an event we all look forward to every year.
What are you getting up to before Wimbledon, Ash? Do you get a chance to have a relax?
Depends how we go in doubles here. if we happen to lose early, we'll have a few more days, but hopefully we go deep and, you know, it's a pretty quick transition over there.
And what about your goals? Do you have goals for Wimbledon? Do you want to get to the quarters, get to the round of 16? Do you have a number that you want to try and achieve?
No, I think I've never won a major or singles match at Wimbledon, so that'd be a nice start. But no, I think we just have to see what draw we get and then reassess from there.
Do you get treated as a champion? Like, when it comes to the ladies' champion or the gentlemen's champion, as they call it, they really get looked after like rock stars. What's it like as being the junior champion? Do you get a special car park, or do you get any? You don't have to queue up for your food for dinner. What's it like?
Oh no! I think you know, we're all treated very well, and the LTA and the All England Club look after us very well. And you know, I think at all tournaments they really do look after the players. But it's always special at Wimbledon for everyone, not just past champions or seeded players and whatnot. We're all looked after very well.
And what about Richmond? How are they going? How do you think they're going? Are they going to be playing finals, Ash?
Oh dear.
Oh, I hope so. But it was really good on the weekend. I've got four Blues supporters surrounding me, so it was a good weekend for me and not so much for them.
How does a girl from Ipswich end up barracking for Richmond?
I don't know. I've just always loved my Tigers from when I was very young, and my dad supported the Tigers, and I don't know. It's a bit of a strange one.
Well, I'm on the train too, Ash. It's top four Tigers this year. I am all over the Tiggies.
Oh, hopefully.
So we'll see what happens with them, and we look forward to seeing how you go at Wimbledon as part of the Australian contingent there at the All England Club. Well done on what you've done so far. Look forward to many more great achievements from you in 2017. Good luck.
beauty. Thanks so much for having me.
Ashley Barty with us on The Breakfast Club on RSN 927 in her preparations for Wimbledon. Looking forward to that, Whitey, because she's in some sort of form, isn't she? She's going very, very well.
Yeah, she is. I mean, that was her first serious final that she's played. She won a title in Malaysia earlier in the year, but that was sort of on that sort of secondary level. So, as we said when we were talking to her, 54 in the world now, that opens all sorts of doors for her because it gets her into all the main tournaments without actually having to go through qualifying, or most of them without having to go through qualifying. And if her ranking continues to improve, then all of a sudden she could be looking at a seed, seeding as early as the US Open, but particularly for the Australian summer, which would be terrific if she's inside the top 32 by the start of next year. There's some Wimbledon qualifying results. We spoke to Sam Groth yesterday.
We did.
He lost, unfortunately, to Simone Biles-Bolelli.
On the cricket pitch.
Yeah, 11-9 in the decider. So that's a little bit unlucky. But there has been some good results. Andrew Whittington won in three sets over Stephen Robert. And one that's a really good one here is Alex Diminar, who's one of the really good young Australians coming through. He won 6-3 in the decider against Jürgen Meltzer, who is one of the more experienced players on
Journeyman?
Tour. Yeah, oh, he's a bit better than better Journeyman.
He was a bit better than Journeyman.
He probably is a Journeyman now.
There seems to be a lot more lead-up events to this year's Wimbledon. Like they've packed a lot more in the calendar on the grass.
Yeah, no, this is Wimbledon qualifying. No, but it's very traditional. You've got Birmingham Eastbourne from a women's point of view. You've got Queens and Birmingham from a men's point of view. So I think what happens now is because of pay television, Jimmy, you can actually see the matches more.
Yeah.
The games are televised more than what they have been in the past, so the awareness is probably a little bit more than what it has been.
I know we do the early mail here. Have you got early mail on Wimbledon for us?
Not yet.
Not yet.
Always got to see the draw.
Got to see the draw. Which side of the draw you're on, Jim? It's all about the draw.
But this man sees things ahead of things.
He does have an uncanny vision.
His tennis knowledge is unbelievable.
Like a helicopter view of the whole situation. Yes. Hasn't got anything yet, though. He's still on the ground, this helicopter. He's got to wait for the draw until he gets up in the air. And we'll give you that when we can on The Breakfast Club. But it's 12 to 7. We need to get to a break. After that, we'll give you the early mail. Jim, we're in Matoa today. When? Racing in Matoa. We've had a big day yesterday.
Whoa.
We need to talk about that after the break. It could have been all-time day yesterday in terms of strike rate. Hit rate for our best bets yesterday.
Are we building statues?
There may be. We just don't know who to build it of yesterday. Might build it of us because it was a team effort yesterday.
Often known as clean sweep.